Well, good morning, men. I'm sure everyone here or watching is familiar with the expression, first impressions are lasting impressions. Or, go with your gut. But are first impressions always correct? How many of us have made mistakes, sometimes very costly ones, based on an initial impression? A bad decision made because you didn't take the time. Well, according to the U.S. Department of Labor, the average cost of a bad hire is up to 30% of that employee's first year of earnings. One report from the CEO of Link Humans even put the average cost of a poor employee at, listen to this, $240,000. When you look at the expenses, the itemized costs related to hiring, retention, and pay, $240,000. Now, we all know that poor hires result in bad productivity, lost time, lost revenue, but even pose potential security risks, physical and cyber. Well, why? Why do we make these bad hires? Well, according to one human resources solutions company by the name of CoAdvantage, there's two things that stand out particularly. It's hiring too quickly, and it's a lack of due diligence or kicking the tires to really find out more about that individual. There's a reason successful companies take their time and conduct multiple interviews, personality tests, even intelligence tests, to try to figure out if somebody's a great fit for that company, to vet them, if you will. So as you open your Bibles this morning to 1 Timothy 5, verses 21 and 22, I want you to think about how the advice that Paul is giving his protege Timothy can be applied by us with respect to decision making as leaders in the workplace and with our families. So read the text with me. 1 Timothy 5, verse 21. I solemnly command you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus and the highest angels to obey these instructions without taking sides or showing favoritism to anyone. Never be in a hurry about appointing a church leader. Do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Paul is giving Timothy a valuable lesson and picture of what godly leadership looks like here with respect to decision making. Let's look at two key words and phrases from the text this morning. Obey without taking sides or show favoritism, and never be in a hurry to appoint a church leader. Let's look at that first phrase, without favoritism. Favoritism is the kiss of death, especially when it comes to family matters. Nothing destroys a family, a team, like favoritism. And the Bible is replete with examples of how choosing favorites leads to pain and suffering. If you can, swing open to 1 Samuel chapter 9. Here's a case study of what happens when you practice favoritism. In this case, it's the people's favorite who was chosen to be king of Israel, Saul. By way of background, the Israelites had been in a steady downward spiral of sinning. They sinned, cried out to the Lord. The Lord provided a judge to them, delivered them, and they were great as long as that judge lived, and then they went right back into that cycle of sinning again. A constant downward spiral. And the people of Israel said, you know what? Theocracy is great, but you know what, Lord? We really want a king. We want you to give us a human king. And God did. He gave them what they wanted. Now listen what the favorite looked like. There was a wealthy, influential man named Kish from the tribe of Benjamin. He was the son of Abiel, son of Zerah, son of Becherath, son of Apiath, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now listen carefully to the next part. His son Saul was the most handsome man in Israel, head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the land. You gentlemen catch that? Here's the people's choice for their king. You have to come from a wealthy and influential family. Should be very good looking. Eye candy. He was the most handsome man in Israel. And you have to be physically imposing. Saul had a physical presence. He was head and shoulders above everyone else. At first blush, at first impression, Saul is a very good choice. He's the favorite. Certainly in the eyes of men. And yet this man, Israel's first king, disobeyed God's commands over and over again, and as a result, it caused a civil war, acrimonious dispute with his family members, and ultimately, he was destroyed because of his jealousy. And I'll bet that the people of Israel wish they'd known all this before they chose him. So much for favoritism. That's why Paul says, Timothy, don't show favoritism and take your time to do your due diligence. So what's the right way to make decisions then, guys? Well, let's go back to the text. Let's go back to the Word. Because God says, okay, you chose the first king, now let me choose the second one for you. Listen to the text. Samuel is sent to the home of Jesse to anoint the new king. And Jesse lines up all his sons in front of Samuel. And here we go. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And we all know what happens from there. Samuel, much to the astonishment of Jesse and everyone there, anoints the runt of the litter, David, the man after God's own heart. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Paul, as a trained rabbi, certainly would have known these verses from Isaiah 55. When we inquire of the Lord and wait on the Lord, you get the right answer at the right time. And King David was someone who consistently, with a few hiccups, inquired of the Lord. He consistently went to God and asked him what to do. And I encourage you over the weekend to read 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles, and you'll see how many times the words David inquired of the Lord or David sought the Lord is mentioned multiple times. But why is it that we, who claim to be Christ followers, do just the opposite? And you know I'm right, gentlemen. Yesterday morning, while I was still in Portland, got up, I was doing my devotional, and looked at this email from BibleGateway.com asking me if I believe in that God answers prayers. And you have the option to click yes or no. And they said, you can get a live update on the answers. Guess what the results showed? 100%, every single respondent said, yes, God always answers prayer. And I thought, maybe I'm the only one who responded. But if that's the case, if all respondents, 100% of obviously self-professing Christians responded yes, why is it that many of us, the very first thing we do is seek godly advice? We either get onto Google or search engines and start typing in, find the answer to our problem, our decisions, or we go seek godly advice. But we don't, like David, inquire of the Lord. Why, if we truly believe that there is an incredible God we worship, the one who made the universe, the one who controls every aspect of the universe, why do we not go to him? Well, I suspect partly because we live in a I want it now world. And I'm forever looking in the mirror, gentlemen. I'm guilty of it. I get upset if my voicemails aren't answered right away. I even give my team at work, I said, you have 3 hours to answer my voicemail. And I get upset if I don't get a response to my email within 24 hours. So what does waiting on the Lord look like? What does this perfect timing look like? Well, I think the psalmist who wrote Psalm 31, he got it right. Gives us a great picture. Listen to verses 15 through 17 from Psalm 31. My life is in your hands, Lord. Save me from my enemies and from those who are chasing me. Show your kindness to me, your servant. Save me because of your love, Lord. Lord, I call to you, so do not let me be disgraced. Let the wicked be disgraced and lie silent in the grave. That's a picture of a guy, of a man, who with his whole heart believes and trusts that his God is going to make things right for him, and that everything is under his control. You know, the Navy SEALs have a saying, slow is smooth, and smooth is fast. Slow is smooth, and smooth is fast. And it's a reminder to take your time, to slow down, and to do the job right. So, are you slowing down and waiting on the Lord, gentlemen? Dads, are you spending as much time on the decisions involving your family as you do at work? Are you talking to them about their sexuality, or are you leaving that to their friends, their school teachers? Or are you asking your incredible God for the right words to tell your children and grandchildren? And if you have adult children, are you directing them to God's word about marriage and life together? Are you taking the time to pray to God about these decisions you may not even have had to make yet? Like talking to your children about sexuality. Just curious, how many grandfathers do we have here this morning? Wow, quite a number. That's great. Well, remember, you're wondering, I'm not sure if these verses really apply to me this morning. Well, I would humbly submit that this text applies especially to you, because you're the patriarch of your family. So I would ask you, I'm going to challenge you, are you content to play the doting, senile man today's Hollywood movies and sitcoms like to portray you as? Or will you provide the wisdom of your years as the patriarch of your family, providing your experience to your sons, your daughters, your grandkids? Will they learn how to wait patiently on God's perfect timing from you by observing you the way you pray and ask God, or maybe listen to your experiences where you didn't do that? Do you pray with them? Or just talk about prayer? Do you pray with them and show them the truths of God's word? that really back up patiently waiting on God. For instance, do you tell them about John 16, verses 23 to 24? Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus said, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. Men, let's challenge each other and encourage each other to incorporate Paul's advice to Timothy into our lives. When you get flustered, or when you stand before a monumental or maybe even a small decision, don't be expedient, don't act hastily, and don't run immediately to those around you for advice. Ask the Lord. Pray. Go into your prayer closet. Go into your quiet space and look at God's Word and pray. Let's pray more and wait patiently, trusting in God's perfect timing for everything in our lives, for every decision. Then when people marvel at how different you are from all the frenetic, panicked people around you, they'll be attracted to this incredible God of yours. And then when they ask you why, you can say, like Paul said, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your incredible word. I thank you for these men. Lord, help us all to wait on your perfect timing, to go to you, and to wait on your perfect decisions for our lives. Be with these men as they go into their time of discussion. May you be in the middle of it, and above all, may you be glorified in it. In Christ's name, amen. 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 Thank you.